Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. The struggle for equality for blacks in America was not limited to living in the 50 states. The struggle followed black men and women to the other side of the world and persisted during the long Vietnam War. Vietnam was the first fully integrated war, but it was anything but equal. In his new book, The War Within a War, The Black Struggle in Vietnam and at Home, author, journalist, and Columbus native Will Haygood takes an in-depth look at the Vietnam War from the black American perspective. He tells the story of a black doctor, an Air Force pilot, a nurse, a Marine officer, and more. All people who served their country, but were often treated as less than in wartime and at home. We're going to hear some of these stories today and learn about how the unrest that marked the Vietnam era continues to influence our world today. Will Haygood, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Now, I cannot start this hour talking about civil rights without asking you about Jesse Jackson. The civil rights icon is not featured in your book, but as someone who has spent so much time studying and writing about black history like you have, I just wanted to take a minute or two to ask you what you'd like to say about the recent death of Jesse Jackson.
We've lost a major icon. I first met him in Pittsburgh when I was working on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette newspaper, and he was traveling around the country talking and inspiring high school students. That was my first time spending time in his company. And then the second time was very interesting. I was in South Africa covering the fall of apartheid, and Nelson Mandela had been released from prison after 27 years. And here comes Reverend Jesse Jackson walking down a road in one of the townships, because he was who he was, he seemed to have brought the entire civil rights movement with him to South Africa. Yeah. And so you had this newly freed South African leader, iconic figure, Nelson Mandela, who, while he was in prison, had read a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. and about the civil rights struggle in the USA. And so it was a meeting of spirits, and it was very powerful in South Africa to be in the same orbit as Reverend Jackson and Nelson Mandela. It was just an unforgettable moment. He is a part of this nation's history and one of the most eloquent speakers that we've ever seen on the scene.
Well, thank you for that memory. And you have such a way of weaving a story together. I think you just wrote the intro for your next book right there. All right. Well, let's get back to this book, why you're here today. This book is called The War Within a War. And you open the book with a memory of the people you knew from growing up here in Columbus who were in Vietnam. So you mention remembering that you rarely saw a black police officer, but you saw soldiers, black soldiers, going to war. Can you tell me what about those childhood memories has stuck with you?
Yes, I lived on North 5th Street, not far from the OSU campus. And every morning I would walk out of my house and I would wave to a guy, Skip Dunn, who lived right across the street from me. He was just a sweetheart of a guy. He taught me how to throw horseshoes at the local playground. Wyland Park was where I spent a lot of my time. So I was going off to the seventh grade, and Skip was going off to high school. And then there came a period of about 2 weeks when I didn't see Skip. And I finally asked my sister, "Hey, have you seen Skip Dunn around?" And my sister looked at me and said, "Skip has gone off to a place called Vietnam." Now, of course, I had heard of Vietnam. I had seen pictures on the TV, but I really didn't understand what Vietnam was about. And so then my mother moved to the east side of town to a all-black public housing project the following year in 1968. And we moved there in May, about 5 weeks after Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. had been assassinated in Memphis. In Columbus, like so many cities around the country, like Detroit and LA and Harlem and Atlanta, erupted in fire and flame. There was a nationwide rebellion in so many black communities because of the pain and the anger at the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And so I found myself in the summer between the eighth and ninth grade running from tanks and National Guardsmen who was sent to the east side to lock the community down. So right then and there, I had two perspectives. I had one from the north side, where not only Skip Dunn had gone off to Vietnam, but five other young black men who I knew: Jimmy Bolden, Charles Bolden, Robert Morris, Steve Collins, and Skip Dunn. And I carried newspapers to all of their homes, so I knew each one of these guys. And all of a sudden, they were gone. They were gone off to Vietnam. I haven't thought about it in this way until I actually started writing this book. What does a community do when its best and brightest young black male figures are snatched up and marched off to war?
Yeah, you talk in the book about how black soldiers in Vietnam had what you called two souls. So they supported America, they believed in America and fighting communism for the most part, but they also did not support America at the same time because of the lack of equality. Can you tell me more about these two souls where they felt so conflicted?
Yes, it's always unfortunately been that way for blacks. They've always had to prove their patriotism in this country. Sadly, tragically, one can go back to the Civil War. Frederick Douglass went to the White House and convinced Lincoln to let black soldiers fight in the Civil War. It wasn't necessarily so that the Union would win the war. And it was Frederick Douglass, such an eloquent speaker, who said, "Please, Mr. Lincoln, put the brass medal on the black man. Give the black man the musket. Let him go into the woods to help save the Union." And Lincoln did, and 200,000 black men answered the call to save the country. Those black men were told by the Confederacy, by the South, they were told, "If you are captured, you will not be sent to a prison camp. You will be lynched by the neck on the spot." And so they entered the war with a death sentence hanging over their head. So you go up to World War I, American forces did not want blacks fighting with white soldiers. So many people know about the Harlem Hellcats. They were all black unit. They went to France and knocked on the door of France and said, "We're from America. We want to fight because there's a war going on, and we want to fight on the side of the Allies who are out to fight for world peace. And since you're fighting on the side of the Americans, we've come to join your forces, the French forces.
Yeah,
We love
that.
our country. We love our country, but our country doesn't love us. But we still want to fight to save it because our families live there."
Yeah, that comes up several times in your book where black soldiers found more camaraderie and they were treated better by France than back in their home country of America, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the black struggle for equality during the Vietnam War, the struggle at home and abroad, and we are talking with author Will Haygood about his new book, The War Within a War. In this book, you tell the stories of seven soldiers, a piano player, and a journalist. We won't have time to get through them all. You have to read the book to hear about all of them. But I am sure, just knowing you, you researched way more people than that. How did you decide on who you included in the book?
When I was sitting down with my editor 5 years ago, when I told him that there was a big gap in military history, and that gap involved blacks in the Vietnam War, there had not been a nonfiction book zeroing in on this subject. There was an oral history many decades ago by Wallace Terry that's called Bloods. And I talk about that book and how that book and was organized, but that's an oral history. So that's a very different book than this. But anyway, I was sitting down with my editor, Peter Gethers, in New York, and he said, "Well, this is a great idea, and you should do this book. And I want women in the book. Must have women, because when we think of the Vietnam War, we often think of men for the simple fact that women weren't allowed to fight, but they were nurses and they had jobs and human relations." And so that's one feature of the book that I found three women, found or wrote about three women. I spent a lot of time with the nurse by the name of Dorothy Harris, who lives in Cincinnati, one of the bravest women I've ever met in my life. She went off to war. And then there was another lady by the name of Maud DeVictor, who was a Veterans Affairs employee. She tried to unravel the mysteries of Agent Orange, and she went to bat for all soldiers, black, white, Hispanic, whomever needed her help, because it seemed to her that the federal government did not want to acknowledge what had happened from this chemical being sprayed out of helicopters on top of them. Maud DeVictor, she's a major character in the book. And another major female character is Philippa Schuyler. Philippa Schuyler was a very well-known child prodigy in the USA. She was biracial, had a white mother, her father was black. She wasn't clear about how much she adored black. Adored the black part of her heritage. And so she saw a story about orphans in Vietnam little kids who had been often many fathered by the black soldiers, and because they were biracial, they were spat upon, they were kicked, they were beaten up, they were sent to orphanages. And of course, that touched her deeply because she was biracial. And so she made it up in her mind that she was going to stage these rescue missions and go to Vietnam and bring these biracial children out of the war. And she did. She had a successful mission once and then went back, and she was with some children in a small plane. It went up in the air. Something happened to the engine and it fell into the river, and she perished. She died with several other orphans. Some of them survived, but she died rescuing orphans. Philippa Schuyler.
Yeah, it's
It's an
such a
amazing story.
powerful, such a powerful story, and a name that I'm sure many people have never heard of, right? Or if they've
Right.
heard of her, it's because she was a child prodigy and this amazing piano player, but she dedicated the end of her life to saving orphans in Vietnam. And I really like how in the book you humanize people too, because you mentioned Dorothy Harris, the nurse from Cincinnati. You talked about, like, you told her story and you told about her being on the front lines and helping to save soldiers, but you also talked about her favorite treat in the war was Coke, a Coca-Cola, you know? And I really like that anecdote. I mean, it makes her human. She would share anything with anyone, but not a Coca-Cola, right? And so,
That chapter, I'm
what?
sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
The chapter about her is titled Dorothy Harris Would Like Another Coca-Cola, Please.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? Give the woman a Coca-Cola. She deserves it, right? Yes.
She deserves it.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm talking with author Will Haygood about his new book, The War Within a War. If you want to hear more from Will Haygood about this book, we invite you to join us at an event at the event is with Gramercy Books. I will be interviewing Will at the Drexel Theater this Sunday at 7 p.m. For tickets, you can visit WOSU.org/events, or you can visit the Gramercy Books website to get tickets and more information. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Coming up, we are going to talk about one of the few black journalists in Vietnam and the stories he told. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. In his new book, The War Within a War, author, journalist, and Columbus native Will Haygood takes an in-depth look at the Vietnam War from the Black American perspective. He traces the lives of Black men and women who were in Vietnam. The racial divide of the 1960s and 70s did not stay on American shores. It followed these men and women all the way around the world. Haygood's book tells the story of race in America and abroad, and he connects the war in Vietnam to the racial tensions at home that the United States continues to grapple with today. Will Haygood, thanks again for joining us for All Sides.
Thank you very much.
So you wrote that 97% of the journalists covering Vietnam were white. This was because only large, well-funded newspapers and magazines could afford to send a team of reporters to the other side of the world. And the reporters who worked for those newspapers and magazines were mostly white. Black newspapers could not afford to set up shop in Vietnam. But tell me about Wallace Terry. How did he end up making it there and working for Time magazine?
His is a wonderful story. He went to Brown University at a time when he could walk on the campus all day and not see more than two other black people, black students. He came out of college. He wanted to write. He wanted a newspaper job because he became editor of the student newspaper at Brown. Mm-hmm. And he got a job eventually at the Washington Post. He became one of the first black reporters at the Washington Post. He wrote some stories that sort of set him apart from some of the other staff members there. And then he was recruited by Time magazine. Early in his career at Time magazine, he covered the civil rights movement. And he got to know Martin Luther King Jr. very well, Malcolm X, Ralph Abernathy, Reverend Jesse Jackson. He met them all. And then he got a prize assignment. He was one of the first black journalists to land in Vietnam. He wrote a lot of stories. Then he started hearing scuttlebutt about all the black soldiers being unfairly disciplined. He could hear rumblings, he could see things. There was, in the early years of that war, about 57% of the soldiers sent to the front lines were black, when America only had 12% blacks in its population. So you could look at those numbers and you could easily think that the United States was sending more blacks to the front line easily than whites. It was John F. Kennedy in the early years of the war when he was in the White House. He said, "We have to be careful, everybody." He was talking to his staff, said, "We have to be careful that this is not seen as a, quote, as a white man's war." Mm. Martin Luther King Jr. later said of that war, it was a white, quote, a white man's war, but a black man's fight.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Very powerful. And Wallace Terry, he said he wanted to write about the status of the black soldier in the first integrated war. Is he the one who coined this term, a war within a war? Because you have that in that chapter. Is that where you got the title from him?
Yes. He was on a leave after being in the war zone for about 4 months. He came back to the USA. He was in the Pentagon. He was talking to a high-level military officer. And the military officer asked him, he said, "Hey, Wallace, since this is the first fully integrated war, how are the black soldiers dealing with that?" And Wallace Terry looked him in the eye and said, "Sir, they are fighting a war within a war." Mm. And it was my editor, Peter Gethers, who said, "Will, I think that might be our title."
Yeah.
And that's a powerful title, A War Within a War. And that war was exemplified by things like this. On the battlefield, as I write in the book, white couldn't survive without black, and black couldn't survive without white. But back at the base camp, a black soldier would go to bed, go into his tent, and come out the next morning, and he would find a Confederate flag planted right in front of his tent. So he had to say to himself, Jesus, I was just out in the bush fighting with my white soldier friends. And now one of them, somebody, has placed a Confederate flag in front of my tent. Now, I don't know, sometimes some of the white guys probably thought this was some kind of joke, but it wasn't taken as a joke when back in the States, so many black figures who were prominent, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., were dying by bullets. And so, it always was a split screen for the black soldier. And Wallace Terry noticed that.
Yeah, another thing he noticed was you write about how if you were black in Vietnam, you couldn't help but bring your blackness with you. The handshakes, the afros, the music. But what really struck me about this was how much the handshakes bothered some of the white soldiers. It's called dapping, elaborate handshakes. But like, why did this become such a problem?
Well, this country at the time was still learning how to evolve out of hardcore racism and hardcore segregation. Blacks weren't allowed to live in so many communities. The war happened right at the time when the three major civil rights bills were being passed by Lyndon Johnson, 1964 Civil Rights Bill, 1965, and 1968. So just because those bills were passed didn't mean that everybody thought of equality with the same fervor. And so whites had to learn how to live with blacks. With the very people whose labor, slave labor, helped build this country. And so, they, these soldiers would meet each other during these tours of duty, which lasted 12 or 13 months. And they would bond together because here they were coming out of neighborhoods that were on fire. Their mother and father were still having a hard time voting. It still was hellish to try to vote in the South. And now, they're black, they're ethnic, they're being sent by America's military leaders who were white overseas to kill another ethnic population, Asians. That had to toy with the mind in terrible, terrible ways. There was one, well, there was a doctor who I write about in the book, and I spent a lot of time with him, Dr. Elbert Nelson. He was in the bush one day and found a little leaflet dropped there by the North Vietnamese. And that leaflet, written in Vietnamese in English, was for, as it said in the first line of the leaflet, it said, "To the colored soldiers of America." It said, "Your enemy is not here in Vietnam. Your enemy is in your nation, in America, which has held you back. Your enemy are the warmongers inside the Pentagon in the State Department." Now,
It's so amazing to think that the North Vietnamese could know that. They knew about the racial struggles in America enough to make leaflets so that they could tell these black soldiers, "Don't bother fighting for this country. It doesn't care about you." That is wild.
Stunning. I can't imagine what the black soldier thought when he came across a leaflet like that. They fell back on this. They fell back on the mantra that I want to make my family proud. So I'm going to fight for the country. Maybe I'll become an officer, even though only 2% of the officers in Vietnam were black. So if you were a soldier from Columbus or Dayton or Detroit or Los Angeles, and you were black, your odds of being under the leadership of a black officer were very, very, very slim. I mean, you might not ever take an order from a black officer while you were in Vietnam. And then at the end of your tour, you would get on a plane and you would come back to the USA, and you still would have a hard time finding some place to live, being treated equitably. And the Vietnam War was the first war where there was a kind of forced brotherhood. And that forced brotherhood happened in Vietnam, but it didn't always happen when the black soldiers landed back in the USA.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the black struggle for equality during the Vietnam War, the struggle at home and abroad. We're talking with author Will Haygood about his new book, The War Within a War. If you want to hear more from Will Haygood about this book, we invite you to join us at an event with Gramercy Books. I'll be interviewing Will at the Drexel Theater this Sunday at 7 p.m. For tickets, you can visit WOSU.org/events or visit the Gramercy Books website for more information. Coming up, we're going to talk about the racial reckoning that started in Vietnam and continues today. That is When All Sides Continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. The fight for equality for black Americans wasn't confined to the 50 states. It extended across the globe, continuing during the protracted Vietnam War. Although Vietnam was marked as the first fully integrated military conflict, true equality was still far from being achieved. The black struggle in Vietnam and at home is chronicled in a new book by author, journalist, and Columbus native Will Haygood. It's called The War Within a War. And Will Haygood is with us today. Thank you for your time, Will.
Thank you for having me.
So toward the end of your book, you connect the racism in America during the time of Vietnam to the 2020 murder of George Floyd. And it was after that murder that Congress acted and chose to rename some buildings around the country that were named for members of the Confederacy. So Robert E. Lee Fort, for example, was renamed for Art Gregg. Art Gregg is featured in your book. He was the first black three-star general. And Gregg was still alive when this happened. What was his reaction like? Did you get to talk to him about having this fort named after him?
Yes, he was so excited. He had fought or he had served in the Korean War in Vietnam. He loved America. He passed away last year, and I spent a lot of time with him. He was just a wonderful, wonderful human being. He was the best of this country. He was the best of us, Art Gregg was. He couldn't quite believe that a military installation was going to be named after him. And he was so happy about that. He knew that the military, when it comes to blacks, has done some wonderful, great things. It was arguably easier, and I don't know if that's the right word, to move up within the military, especially after the civil rights bills. It was easier to start climbing the ladder than it would have been if you were in a bank or a major retail store.
The military had processes and procedures, and the civil rights movement made it so that they had to follow them no matter the color of your skin, right? So you could get promoted. Yeah.
Yes. If you were scoring outstanding scores on test, then you were going to move up in the military. If you went to West Point and you were black, you know, you were going to be an officer when you landed in Vietnam in the 60s. There was nobody to hold you back. First, of course, you had to get in the West Point, but
right, that little thing.
You got in the West Point. Yeah, and finished at West Point, and you landed in Vietnam, you were going to have troops under you. And you couldn't always say that about businesses and about colleges and about universities in the USA in the 1960s. They still worked very much under a segregated system. And so these monuments, these parks, this naming of things to honor black troops in the past 30 years has been a wonderful thing. Unfortunately and tragically, that moment seems to have passed with the current administration in power. There has been actually an attack against history, against what so many blacks have done, and many military figures are upset, and I'm talking white and black military figures are upset, and they have voiced that it is dead wrong to attack the heroism by blacks and women that we have seen in our military records, in our military history.
Yeah. Does that worry you about this book that you just wrote? Because, I mean, it is basically, I mean, it's a nonfiction history book, and it does not paint America in the best light. It paints America in the truth as told by these people, the black men and women who were in Vietnam. Do you worry that someone's going to read your book and say, like, this is not the history we should be teaching?
Well, the soldiers fought for that. The soldiers fought for freedom, freedom of speech. People can read what they want to read, or they don't have to read it. In Germany, which I visited several times, once a group of school teachers told me that they were very proud in Germany that in junior high school, in high school, they teach students about the Holocaust. They're open about the history. And we are in the season now in our country where we're starting to ban books. Books are being banned. My book on the history of black film was removed from the shelves at the U.S. Naval Academy. And the Wall Street Journal wrote that that was wrong. There was a column in the Wall Street Journal by David Shripman who said, surely Will Haygood's book, Colorization, is no threat to national security. And it's not. The book that I've written, The War Within a War, The Black Struggle in Vietnam and at Home, it's a story about the truth. It's a story, and there are many heroic figures in this book who are white, many heroic figures in this book who are black, many women, historic figures in this book, but we have to own our history. We can't run from it. If we run from our history, it doesn't bode well. It just doesn't. Skip Dunn on the cover of this book, 18-year-old. He was a Marine. He loved his country. He joined the Marines. He went to fight for his country. He fought for freedom of speech. He fought so we can have books in libraries, so we can read those books, so we can understand, you know, what America is about, you know, how it was founded. One of the founding fathers said so succinctly, he said, it is a republic if you can keep it. And the black soldiers in Vietnam, maybe they get their moment in the sun in this book. But as many military figures who I have met, generals and privates, they seem to be admiring what this book is about. And this book is simply about the truth. It's a narrative story. There's one chapter in here about a black POW and a white POW who were in prison in North Vietnam. And the North Vietnamese thought that the white prisoner and the black prisoner would kill each other because they were from the USA. Those two men ended up saving each other's lives. And both of them said that when they were released finally. And so there are stories like that, which I think makes one feel proud to know who served our country, but it wasn't an easy trek.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We are talking with Will Haygood, author of the book, The War Within a War, about the Vietnam War and the struggle for black equality at home and abroad. You mentioned Skip Dunn again. You know, our listeners can't see the cover of the book. It's a close-up portrait of one soldier on the cover. So that's Skip Dunn, who you delivered newspapers to as a kid and waved to from your porch. How did he end up on the cover? That's amazing.
Yes. After the book was finished, Amy, it was finished. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said to myself, I wonder whatever happened to Skip Dunn. You know, because my family had moved to the east side of town. So I made a couple phone calls back to Columbus from my home in Washington, D.C. And someone told me that Skip Dunn had passed away. He was 45 years old when he passed away. And so it made me very sad to hear that. But then I wanted to talk to somebody in his family, and I reached out to his widow, Neva Dunn, Miss Neva Dunn. Now, this is after the book is finished, and I'm sure my editor and the art director We're already thinking of who's going to go or what picture is going to go on the cover of the book. When I talked to Miss Dunn, I asked her for sentimental reasons if she could send me a picture of her late husband, Skip Dunn, and she did. And the picture she sent me knocked me out. It's so soulful. It's so haunting. He's 18 years old.
I know. I was just going to say he looks so young, and his eyes just, they look right at you, man.
They look right at you. They seem to be saying what the singer Marvin Gaye was saying about the Vietnam War when he sang his song, "What's Going On?" Oh, what's going on? Brother, brother, there's too many of you dying. I am the un-Marvin Marvin Gaye, by the way.
Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah.
She sent me the photograph. I was thunderstruck by it. I immediately got it to my editor up in New York. He was thunderstruck with the photo and called me 2 days later and said, "Will, I think we're going to put Skip Dunn's photograph on the cover, which means that we would like you to go back into the book and write about how you met Skip Dunn and the fact that he lived right across the street from you." And so I was very, very touched that my editor had that reaction to the book. And so there is Skip Dunn, lived right across the street from Little Will Haygood. He's with us again all these years later, and he's on the cover of the book.
What did his widow think of that?
When I showed it to her, her eyes welled up with tears, because when we first talked, she said, "Oh, Will, so your book is finished." And she said, "I was just hoping that Skip would rate one line in your book." One line, it would have made his siblings and me so happy. But Will, the book is finished, and I understand. And so when we made the decision to put him on the cover, and I said to myself, it is not good enough for a phone call. I said, I'm going to get on a plane, fly to Columbus, and I did, and I asked her to meet me for lunch, and I told her that I had something to show her. And we met for lunch, and I said, "Mrs. Dunn, you had told me that you hoped that Skip's name would have been mentioned in the book, and you were sorry that it would not be mentioned in the book. Well, I have news for you. I think I've done slightly better than that." And then I pulled the book jacket out of my satchel bag, and I said, "Your man, your fella, the love of your life, Skip Dunn, appears on the cover of my book." And she welled up with tears, and it was very, very touching. We hugged each other, and she was with Robert Harris, one of Skip's younger brothers. And they both were very touched. We were at a small restaurant on Broad Street in the city, and I had flown there just for that purpose, to show her.
That's amazing, and I'm so glad to know that story and the Columbus connection to the cover of the book and that it happened. Unfortunately, we have less than a minute left. Just one final takeaway. What do you hope people get from this book when they read it?
Well, that it's a story. It's a thrilling story. It's a story about the Vietnam War. It's very difficult for people to talk about that war in so many respects. And this has been a big, big gap in the war. How these Black soldiers from Mississippi, Ohio, and California, and Texas, how they refused to be treated as second-class citizens. They made people back in the States proud of their service. Ebony magazine would often run photographs of Black soldiers out in the field, and when they were carrying white soldiers to safety. It was a point of huge pride, and it gave white and Black an opportunity, even though it was at war, even though it was around blood and bullets, it gave them an opportunity to eat together, to fellowship together, to pray together. And they all had the same dream. They wanted to get back home safely.
We're going to leave it there. Will Haygood, author, journalist, Columbus native, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
The new book is The War Within a War. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.